Number 9A.
We take up now the question of the two translations. That was another assignment, and these two translations refer to what Mrs. Eddy calls in the textbook, page 115, the scientific translation of Immortal Mind and the scientific translation of Mortal Mind. Because it's a long title, we usually use the terminology, the first translation and the second translation. So if we use that abbreviation, you will know what I'm talking about. Actually, both translations are one translation, namely the Christ translation. So that the Christ translation is analyzed in two different applications or different directions, I could say, namely the translation from immortal mind, from God to idea, and then the second translation, the translation of mortal mind, translating the first degree of depravity back to the third degree of understanding. As I was saying, back to understanding, I was using a term that Mrs. Eddy does not use, namely that back, translating back to. We use that in order perhaps to make it clear that the second translation is actually not an original translation, that the second translation starts with depravity, and we could ask ourselves, from where does depravity come from? Is depravity that first degree a state that exists per se, or what is it? And actually we would see that that state of depravity is actually a state that we arrive at when the first translation is not understood. We never have depravity except when the first translation, the Christ translation, which we considered this morning, is not understood. Then we get all the hell we like, and we get those states of the physical, of evil beliefs, passion, appetite, fear, depraved will, self-justification, etc., etc., which really only arise then when the Christ idea is not understood. Therefore, the first degree is a false translation, or the end product of a false translation. It's the end product of a false understanding of the first translation. It therefore is not something per se. Consequently, if we like to translate mortal mind out of itself back into the divine mind, we must see that this is a re-translation, a translation back, namely to its origin. In this way, we can use, therefore, the first translation, that of divine mind, the second translation as a re-translation when a false translation has taken place. So every time we do not understand the first translation, every time we do not flow, say with our seventh synonymous term, we get something as an end product that is not divine, which is a depraved state of things. It's the first degree of unreality. Mrs. Eddy has, in miscellaneous writings, two big statements about translation. She says, in one statement, she says, Christian Science translates mind, God, to mortals. That's the first translation, really translating the divine mind to the point of man as idea, and therefore, through the law of opposites, coming to the mortal man. And then a page later, she speaks about science understood, translate matter into mind. That's the second translation. It translates actually matter or the first degree right back to the third degree again to mind, where Mrs. Eddy then says in the third degree mortal mind disappears and man as God's image appears. So again, at the end of the second translation, we have again the same status as at the end of the first translation, where we have man as idea, as the image of mind appearing. So can you see the interlocking of these translations? All right. Now, we could ask ourselves, why do we need a translation? Why do we need a Christ? What is the office of that Christ? What means translation at all? Well, there are many definitions that you can take from the dictionaries, and usually the definition reads something like that, that translation means to express in another language, systematically retaining the original sense. That is quite interesting. You take in a translation, you take something and translate it into something else without that the original sense is being lost. Now, we have seen that very clearly this morning, that this is actually happening in that Christ translation, that we take actually the principle of life, truth, and love, and then soul translates it in its entirety without that the original sense is being lost, without that anything is being lost, and translates it into another language, namely into the language of idea. So the language of principle is translated into the language of ideas. Yes. Now we can ask ourselves, why should there be a translation at all? Why should there be a translation? Why can't we leave the word as the word as what it is, namely as the word? Why should we need actually a translation? Could you have an idea why, what, or the wherefore, for what purpose, and why we need such a translation? Don't look too far. What is the origin, what is the meaning of that Christ translation? Yes, Sylvia? We want to express it, what it?
Well, we have the word.
Yeah? Yes? 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 All right. Does the first translation show it, that it's expressed in our lives? It's all right what you said, Sylvia, but I just go back to the first translation and say, does that first translation want to show that? Yeah, but something similar, namely what? Yeah? You said that the whole word, God, must be translated. Why? All right, to our understanding, to the point of idea. Well, why is this necessary? See, the whole thing is, the purpose of the whole thing is that this is what differentiates Christian Science from mysticism. In the mystics, you don't translate the whole back to the translated to the point of individual ideas. What you want to do in mystics is to remain in the whole. Now, you say very rightly, you say, but it must be translated to our understanding. And we understand God as a whole only through its ideas. That's the point. You see, the mystic tried to be absorbed in the whole gamut of the undifferentiated whole. And then the question is that Christianity asks, how can that whole be translated to the individual idea or individual experience? Yeah. So actually the Christ is that which the mystics don't have. The mystics don't have a descent. They don't have a descent. Now, what is the scientific meaning of that descent? Scientific meaning is that God cannot be understood as a whole. Therefore, the mystics don't talk about understanding God. They talk about being absorbed in the whole. But the whole cannot be understood as a whole, or it would have to be bigger than the whole. Therefore, the question always is, how can we understand that whole? And in order to be able to understand that, we need translation, so that the whole always translates itself to ideas that we can understand. Then we can understand the whole through ideas and not as the whole. This is the big point. That ushers in science. That differentiates it from mysticism. Yes. All right. Now, we consider quickly now the first translation. And there we have, as you see, three subtitles. God, man, idea. Now, if you ask yourself now what is the purpose of the translation, you just take the end, the beginning and the end. And then you find the range within which the Christ translation takes place. That range is starting out with the whole of God, namely with all the seven synonymous terms, starting out with the whole of God and translating it to the point of idea. Now, idea here is explained as an image in mind, capital M. What does that really mean, an idea as an image in mind? How could you understand what is meant by that? Does it make sense to you, practical sense to you, when you talk about an idea being the image in mind? What mind knows of itself, huh? Or else, yes, what mind conceives of itself, yes, the image is that which it sees, huh? What mind sees of itself. And then the second one is the immediate object of understanding. What does that mean, an immediate object of understanding? You see, have those two definitions the same connotation? I say the same meaning. Yes? I think you are right, yes. Because what is the category in which the first passage is? Yeah? Yes? Uh-huh. Yes? Can you, if you drop for a moment the subjective and objective, could you see a difference in category of those two? Are they on the same category? Yeah? Everybody says, yeah? Yes? Can you see that? Huh? It's the image in mind is the absolute sense from God's point of view. So it gives us really that point where we ended up our Christ order, ended it up, said at the point of mind it appears as idea. But then we have a further definition, and you said this second definition is much more from the human standpoint. It is that what we understand immediately. Can you see? This is a relative sense. It shows that here is the bridge between the divine and the human. Up to the idea as an image in mind, you have a real divine sense. But we could say, but what would that do to us if we would not understand it? Then it would still be some kind of a mystical concept that had no understanding, that we do not grasp, that we cannot really get hold of. Huh? And therefore, she builds here a terrific bridge namely understanding. Understanding is that bridge. What would you say is that bridge between what and what? Relative and the absolute. You understand from a relative standpoint. We understand. Here it is not that divine mind understands. It's not the immediate object of the divine mind. It's therefore the immediate object of understanding of the relative. But we understand what? The idea. And the idea is absolute. It's a divine idea. So she brings out here very, very nicely that actually the pivotal point of the both translation is on that term understanding. So understanding, can you say the pivotal point, turning point, is understanding. And if we consider then the second translation, what do we find? That again, the second translation ends up with the same term, understanding. So that actually we could say that the linking point of both translations is understanding. We have to understand the first translation, and the understanding of the second translation leads us to a full understanding. And there then comes in that big sentence in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. Yes. So what I want to bring out with this is the following. Can you see that those two translations are actually only one translation, the Christ translation. And both hinge on the term understanding, so that there is no translation from the first degree back to the third degree taking place until and unless we have the understanding of the first translation. So we can't say, as many say, well, the Christ goes on anyway, the Christ is going to do his job anyway, no matter what we do, no matter if we know it or not. Well, I think that's true. The Christ goes on anyway. But there comes a but. And the but is, what's the good of it? What's the good of it if it does not touch us, if it does not bring about the second translation? And the second translation only comes about when we take in into our understanding the first translation. So we see here how that term understanding is a keen word, and so that we cannot no more say, well, the Christ goes on anyway, it doesn't really matter if I know it or if I don't know it, if I understand it or don't understand it. If we want to have the Christ operation as something that saves, that heals, that corrects, then we must have an understanding of the first translation. Yes. Did we get that straight? Yes, that's a good point. She says, spirit imparts the understanding which lifts up consciousness. So, spirit imparts understanding. Is that the only way that uses the term understanding, that spirit imparts understanding? And if she says that spirit imparts the understanding, does it mean that spirit is that which understands? Or does it mean that in spirit is the ability to bring forth in the human the quality of understanding? You see, that's a difference. So we have to see that. Yeah. All right. Now, so we could see that both, actually, of those two translations, go on simultaneously, because they all hinge on the term understanding. Therefore, the moment we understand, which is the first translation, the moment we understand, the moment something is put into operation, which is translating matter back to spirit. Something gets into operation which translates the first degree back to the third degree. So we can't, so it isn't a thing that, or it isn't so that one can see, well, you can understand something, but it doesn't work. The moment you understand something, it works. If it doesn't work, we say, we must say and admit to ourselves, we haven't understood it. Because the moment you understand physics, it works. The moment you understand mathematics, it works. And that's shown here, that the moment we have an understanding of the first degree, that works as the translating back of the first degree to the third degree. It works. And therein lies, therefore, the great importance to see that the translation from the divine to the human is through that term understanding. Yeah, that term understanding. So the moment, we said, the moment we understand, the moment it operates. So that actually those two translations should have been put side by side as happening simultaneously, because their common denominator is really understanding. Both translations have that common denominator as understanding. Let us look at the second translation, the scientific translation of mortal mind. It is perhaps of some interest to one or the other student that, you know, that this whole chapter appeared for the first time in the 50th edition in 1891, in that momentous new edition where Mrs. Eddy, after having retired and spent a whole of time in solitude and in quietness, brought out the 50th edition, which had, as an addition to the previous editions, had really this chapter, Science, Theology, and Medicine, in which these two translations appear. And at the first, when she wrote it out, she had another title. The other title that she had at the beginning was The Scientific Definition of Immortal Mind and The Scientific Definition of Mortal Mind. And only later on she changed it to Scientific Translation of Immortal Mind. Can you see how that whole question of those two translations must have grown quite a bit in her consciousness since its first inception? At first she coined it as a definition, and you can see at once that this would have been so wrong, because what she presents is something very dynamic, a translating sense and not a statement sense, like in the statement, what is God, that is a statement, and has not the dynamic sense in it, whereas the moment she presents here the seven synonymous term in this order, you get a terrific sense of translating power. All right, now, the biggest question I think that the student has to solve here and to see properly is the place value of this second translation.